Great fade.
Nice.
What's up, guys?
Welcome back. Good afternoon. Hello.
That's right. Welcome. Stroll Show, Radio Free Brooklyn. As always, your hosts. Across from me
is the sea. And then on the other side, over there, you know.
Over yonder is the flow, guys. Welcome back. Another edition of the Stroll Show right here. We're just settling into this frigid studio.
I like how I acted out. Like, we acted out the points. Like, I pointed at you like I was in some kind of, like, wrestling move. Like, yeah, like two fingers.
And that's my boy coming in over there.
Yeah. Dude, that's actually a really good wrestling voice.
You like that one?
That was very close to, that's Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
I should have did that last week with Brian from the 605.
It's too late.
It's too late. Maybe we can superimpose that.
We'll figure it out in post.
Did you read on the, I was reading the comments on the 605 podcast when they posted our, a lot of peas, a lot of pops. In that sense, but
peas pop.
But he posted, he shared I actually didn't see this. And so some guy commented on it, and he goes, "Oh, it's really great to have a wrestling podcast when the guy knows absolutely nothing about wrestling." I was like, "Oh my god!" This dude just came so hard body at me. But you know what? I actually was like, you know, I can't argue with this man because I know shit.
Well, how do you know he was talking about you?
Well, clearly between the other two men speaking, I can only imagine I was the odd man out.
I mean, we don't promote ourselves as a wrestling podcast. We just had a wrestling guest.
That's true. And
so that guy can SRD.
Yeah, but well, here's what happened. Our boy Brian then commented.
What'd he say?
Via the 605 podcast.
Of course, he's not going to stay silent. And Brian is not a silent man.
No, he's a big man.
He is. You might say he is ready.
he is always ready.
And he's ready.
He came to my defense.
What did he say? Oh, dude, I didn't see any of this.
Yeah, bro.
Where are you at? You know what? I don't want to talk about my daily bullshit life, but I mean, I've been very busy at work this week for like once, and it was snowing. There was a lot of shit going on.
But so he came to my defense. I mean, it was really not that this is as exciting as I make it out to be.
I know, but still, it sounds good to me.
It does sound good, right? So he says, he's like, you know, it's not really a wrestling podcast. And then the guy was like, oh, he's like, that explains a lot. And I was like, yeah, it does. I was like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, it does.
Why don't you fact check? Why don't you check your facts?
That just proved
before
to me.
Before I wreck your facts.
Exactly. It proved to me he did not look at our Facebook page.
No, and he probably barely even listened to the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he just heard me. He's like, look at this dumb fuck. Sorry, I'm ooh, I cursed.
Whoa.
I feel like I don't just drop those all the time.
Well, you know,
when I refer to myself, you know, it seems like a good place to go.
I feel like, in response to what you just said about, you know, saying fuck, which I just said.
It's like a Howard Stern type moment.
I feel like we've gotten more comfortable.
Not cursing?
Yeah, well, not cursing, but then also like talking about really gross things sometimes too.
Yeah.
You know, the balance is what you need. You can't be talking about it all the time, eventually something's gonna slip out.
That's true.
We're men. We're two men.
It's true. We're not shock jocks just yet.
No, we're not.
I'm not throwing bologna on a stripper like Howard Stern would do.
Oh man, what can be said about Howard Stern? I mean, geez, I don't think there is much.
There's nothing to say. I mean, Howard's been a lot cleaner lately. I have to say, I've listened to his stuff on the YouTube.
You ever listen to the thing that he did when he like ripped Paris Hilton like a new one, like over like one of her songs?
I think, yes, I did. That I actually listened to.
That was, I mean, I couldn't believe he was saying some of that stuff on radio, but I guess it's not. It's, you know, what is serious?
Satellite radio.
Which is basically internet radio, right?
Yeah, it's basically like the same thing, except they get satellite dishes that like shoots up and shoots back down to your cars.
So what if we say that Radio Free Brooklyn is satellite radio from now on? You think that is a lie?
I don't know.
I mean, I think we're reflecting off of some satellites.
Yeah, I mean, my phone is probably bouncing off something.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think we're connected enough, but...
Oh, yeah, we're connected.
And we're going to make some new connections today.
Yes, that's right. Why is that?
Gentle. Gentle segue. So gentle.
So, be gentle with it.
We have special guests. Every guest is a special guest.
Always special.
I feel like I say that, but you know what? It's true.
I'm always excited. Sorry. I'm always excited when someone calls in.
I feel like, you know, if you're willing to sit with us for 20 minutes to a half hour talking about bullshit... then you are special to me.
Yeah, you must, I don't know. I wonder how they feel after the interview.
Maybe we should do like a post show.
Yeah.
Like a post interview.
Maybe like you do like...
how did we do? We just ask them like, okay guys, here we go.
What'd you think? Ask me some questions now.
Ask me some questions.
It's like, it maybe be like a VH1 like pop-up video, you know, at the end. It's like, boop, like Steve,
pop-up video.
Like this guy really hated Steve right here, you know, or something. Maybe that's something really cool going on that we don't know about.
Well, we do have something really cool going on.
Yes,
and our guest is Figure Eight today. Long Island-based band, young band. We saw them actually play at Gold Sounds. We got comp tickets for once. Mm-hmm.
Rebecca from Big Picture Media. Mm. I believe
she was the lovely lady that got us the interview with to write Love in Our Arms
during Warped Tour
at Organization. So that was cool. So gifts keep coming your way for the Stroll Bros.
So thank you. So we got to go see them. We took our boy Andrew with us.
Mm, that was good.
Yeah, food challenge competitor Andrew.
if you keep saying it enough,
it's
going to
happen. It's just going to happen. And so we went there. We popped in. So Figure Eight. We didn't talk to them because we wanted to keep them. You know, we wanted to be lurking in the shadows and make them not sure if we're there. The Stroll Bros here? Are they not here? We were there. We watched.
Oh, we were there.
And we tried a beer and I filmed some footage. You can see that on Facebook right now on the Stroll Show BK. You could go check that stuff out. And they're going to call in about maybe 5 minutes, maybe a little earlier. We don't really know.
We're not sure. Yeah, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, we may get Joe McEwen may call in from the boys before us in Point of Order. Joe McEwen.
Anybody who was listening to Point of Order before us, they were anxiously waiting. Met great
Joe McEwen, Super Joe. And apparently he stood them up last minute, or he had to cancel last minute, unfortunately.
Is that a real thing? That's what they said.
That's what Joe said. I don't know if he was joking or not, because I like Joe, but Joe likes to joke. So yeah. I'm not too sure what was real, what's not real.
Well, I know what's real.
Yeah. Figure Eight.
The new EP.
yes.
By Figure Eight. It's called Forever. They were playing the show was their EP release show that we went to on Friday. And they brought it. I'm curious to find out a little bit more about their configuration.
Oh God!
You like that? Woo! I'm on fire today.
We need a pop up right there. Need a pop video. Paul, terrible joke.
Paul, just please be off the radio forever. So yeah, because there were a two piece at one point. I popped again. I'm sorry.
Those peas are strong on these mics.
You gotta watch those hard peas. It's like in the morning when you wake up and you have to go to the bathroom really hard. That's a South Park joke. That's not even mine. I'm sorry. I can't make my own jokes. I have to cite
the source of the joke.
I have to plagiarize other jokes. when we saw them on Friday night, they were actually a four piece, and they said that they had two musicians that were playing bass and guitar that like just learned the songs that week. So that was pretty cool. And they really killed it.
Yes, we'll find out, because I know they had another EP released like maybe 2 years ago. So maybe there was a little lineup change or something. You know what's gonna happen though? Stroh Bros are getting to the bottom of it.
We're gonna find out.
That's all I know.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. I really, you know, I just want a Stroll Bros t-shirt. Remember we were talking about getting like the Super Mario cover from like the Mario NES game.
Yes, I love that idea.
But we, but like the Stroll Bros instead of the Mario Bros.
Yeah. So didn't someone already take that idea though from
they
us?
They totally did. I mean, you know what? I don't know if they took it from us, but they just did it.
Dude, anything you think of, I literally could be like, ah, man, a gorilla delivering pizza to somebody. And then it's just, you know, it's like just a bunch of bananas in a box. Like, that's probably already happened on it's YouTube
probably,
somewhere.
Someone's probably getting a delivery of bananas in a pizza box right now.
I mean, the world is large.
It is a large
place. Ever evolving. So let's play the title track off the new EP called Forever by Figure Eight. We'll be back after this with the band. And you're listening to The Stroll Show, as usual, Radio Free Brooklyn. And stay tuned.
Hey guys, what's up? You're on. Ooh, I'm super loud. Hey guys, what's up? How you doing?
Hey. Hi.
Hey, good.
Hey, so, what's sorry up, man? Sorry about that. We were mid song, so we faded out, and it was kind of an awkward changeover. But
it was.
But
oh yeah, no problem.
Yeah. But you're live. We're on Radio Free Brooklyn. How you guys doing?
Cool. Very good. It's just me though, Ryan here.
Oh, okay, cool. Ryan, how's it going, man? You're a singer and guitarist, right?
Yeah.
Cool, man. How's it going?
It's going good. I just woke up, but, you know, I'm here. I'm ready to do it.
That's always a struggle with our show.
We're doing good. We also just woke up.
This is the struggle with our show. It starts at noon, so we got to, like...
But it's noon on a Sunday. That's
noon
the big
on a
problem.
Sunday, yeah, because, you know, everyone's going out that Saturday before, you know, and then we got to wake up early, and it's tough. It's tough. We're getting old, you know? You know how it goes?
Yeah. No, I feel you.
we thank you for choosing to. There's a lot of shows you could have chose to be on on a noon hour on a Sunday, and you chose ours. So we appreciate that, man. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Just to start off, we came to the EP release show at Gold Sounds on Friday,
And first of all, you guys sounded great. The new song sounded really, really great. And
thank you.
Yeah, I'm curious because this is the first time I've seen you guys live. Do you usually play with like a four piece or because it seems to me like outwardly looks like you guys are a two piece. And I'm also in a two-piece band, so I was kind of like, oh, cool, it's going to be like another two-piece. That's cool. See how they do it. And then, it seemed like you had recently added guys that were learning the songs like a week ago or something, you said. So just tell me a little bit about the configuration.
Yeah. Wait, that's actually funny because, I didn't know if you guys showed up. I heard you guys were coming. I didn't know if you came or not. But
oh, yeah, we're there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's we actually, at one point, we were a three-piece. So we were like guitar, bass, and drums. Then we had some people who had to, go to college and stuff. So
that shit, yeah.
We had me and the drummer, and we were doing two-piece for a while. We actually were on a tour in January, and we did it like the whole thing as a two-piece. And just literally one of our friends' bands like broke up, and they were like, hey, like, do you want to, can we play with you? We were just like, yeah, we need people to play. So we added them. But yeah, we used to be like a two-piece for a little bit, and I was using like an octave pedal to get like the bass.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? But, definitely better with like a real bassist, for at least our type of music.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the music kind of like lends itself to, you want that full band kind of, vibe experience. Like from my experience, like as a two piece, my guitarist, my band uses an octave pedal too. But like one of our things is like we're only two dudes, so it like kind of works for us. And then he like splits the signal of the octave, so like all the bass tones go to a bass amp. So he's got a 3D effect. So it's pretty cool. But that works for us, For you guys, you want kind of like that that full experience, and I was really impressed by those guys learning those songs.
It was real quick.
In a week.
Like a week.
Yeah.
It's like a South Park episode.
It was pretty cool. I mean, I was surprised that like they got it so good. And it's funny because this is like a lefty, so he can't really use any. And so he was using like a shitty bass, like I think it's like drum. And, it worked out, but, it was pretty good, though.
And so he used another, he used a righty bass? Is that what he said? You cut out for a second there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
His bass was, broken, and we were just like, well, shit. but he had this, crappy bass that he got from, a girlfriend, years ago. But,
still girlfriend or no?
It works.
Like a Squire or something? Or Ibanez?
No, it was worse. I don't even know what it was, but
I was like one of those off brands.
It was blue, with I don't know. It was weird.
I mean, it sounded really good. I thought the bass specifically sounded good. We were just rocking out to
Forever.
Yeah, Forever, the title track of the new EP, and Steve was just saying that the bass line on that is really
that's
really
what I was saying.
Perfect.
That's why you kind of needed the more musicians to get I don't know how you can play that bass line.
As a guitarist.
Yeah, as a guitarist, so it really was good. It's really beefy.
Thank you. We actually didn't even play that song where we were a two-piece because it just sounded dumb with just guitar drums. But,
I could feel that. So tell us a little bit about, the beginning of the band. You said that, at one point you were a three-piece and a two-piece. How did you guys get together and how when did you guys first start playing?
It kind of was after high school when I was in a few bands myself, and then I just wanted to start something where I wrote all the music. So this is kind of that. And then I got some friends to play, drums and bass. And then so basically, it's kind of like one of those deals where I write the music and then I have a band play with me kind of. So we had, that was a few years, that was maybe 2015. We started to play shows. And then we had a few lineup changes, and that's where the whole, two piece came in because, people were, the friends we were playing in the band one, they had college to do. Two, they weren't really, you know, too into, you know, playing shows a bunch. But I think, yeah, so I had another friend from high school who hit me up. He was like the guy who's playing drums currently. And he's like, yeah, like you need a drummer? I'll play with you. And then I got him involved. That's when we were a two-piece. And then, yeah, these two guys joined. And hopefully we'll be a full band from now on. But, yeah, that's pretty much how it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I'm just looking now because I saw you guys have another EP that came out called August. And was that like a previous lineup, like 2015 lineup or something?
Yeah, that was 2015. That was like all the recordings basically are me. Like I play all the things on the recordings.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, that was so yeah, it did, yeah.
That's how Dave Grohl did it.
But it wasn't
that first Foo Fighters album. That's how Dave Grohl did it in that first Foo Fighters album. He recorded all the instruments himself.
Yeah, yeah.
A regular Dave Grohl.
You get Dave Grohl comparison. Yeah, that's what we bring you on the Stroll Show.
That's how we do. So when did you guys start recording the Forever EP?
Basically last June, and it kind of took. It was like from June to like September, basically of recording.
And you guys go to like studio, or were you doing like home studio?
No, I did it in my basement. Basically.
Oh, nice. You use like GarageBand?
Logic,
nice.
That's another level. That's another level. I tried to learn like, I mean, not that I don't even have a good enough computer to do that shit because it's like it's you know it's intense. Like I feel like if I try to download like AutoTune or like anything like music related on my computer, even GarageBand, like my computer might explode. But that shit is it's not easy. I mean, you could learn it, you know, but like I feel like Logic, Ableton, all that shit, like I don't know. Have you been messing around with that for a while, like since you were younger and you kind of just grew into it, or did you go to school for it or anything?
Yeah, I've been like messing with it since like the 8th grade.
Wow, there you go. Yeah. That's it.
So
season vet.
And I did go, I'm kind of like taking some time off from school right now, but I did go to a school for it, and yeah, I don't know. It was okay. It's kind of like, you know, since I've been messing around with it for a while, it was very basic stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of like, you know, I was like, I don't know if I like this.
Yeah, but, you're already ahead of the game.
Yeah, they're teaching old folks like us.
Yeah, like I need to go back to school to learn that. I can barely get on Facebook anymore. Like I have to change my password every 5 minutes. Like, hey, what the hell? Like I already got this password. They made a password. But if you don't mind me asking, I'm curious, like, because you know, me and Steve, we're like pushing 30. We're not 30 yet.
We're not 30. Don't think we're 30 yet.
And you know, we saw you guys play.
Just please don't think it.
But we saw you guys, and we saw these guys like. Got like that youth that that me and Steve probably
once had.
But I'm just curious, how old are you? Like, I want to see like the difference in like generations.
Yeah, I'm gonna be 21 next week.
Oh, and I saw you drinking a beer though.
Yeah, they didn't. You know what? They gave us some tickets, and they didn't ask any questions. So
that's right.
Like,
all right. They don't ask questions. You don't ask questions.
That's right. You just do what you're told in those situations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the guy, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Oh, I was just going to say the guy was really psyched on whatever beer he was giving me. He was like, yo, man, this is like a Blue Moon, but it's not. And it's just like, it's so good, dude. I was like, okay. Thanks.
Let's make that happen, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to put this in my body right quick. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So you're a little bit younger than us.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I get curious, like when you were growing up, like what was the influence for you? Like, was it, because I want to see how it kind of matches up with some of our musical influences, you know? Like, I'm always interested to see, like, younger kids. Like, what was the bands? Like, one band that we interviewed, like, without any hesitation, was, like, Foo Fighters was their influence. Yeah. Like, they were, like, the same age as you. Like, and that, you know, like, not that would ever be something that I would say. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
But Green Day, but not Green Day, Dookie Green Day, Green Day, American Idiot you know what I mean? Point of reference.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just interesting to me. So, like, what do you have to say for yourself?
this is always a hard one because, I don't know. I feel like it kind of sounds lame a little bit, but, like, I guess, like, back, like, you know, 5 years ago, like when the Wonder Years were like coming out. That's when I was first really getting into, like, you know, I guess my own kind of music that wasn't, like, you know, presented to me, I guess.
Right. Was like, on the radio and
shit. But that way, yeah, but also, like, so, like, you know, a bunch of that kind of, like, pop punk stuff, you know, like, you know, Story So Far stuff, and then, but also, like, Say Anything.
That's a throwback.
Yeah, I was really into that, like, it was probably, like, one of my first bands that I really got into, and, like, yeah, they were kind of one of those, bands where I was like, oh, shit, you can, like, not be a really big band and, like, still make music, you know?
Right.
So I was like, shit, I should do that, you know?
Yeah, and because Say Anything had that album, was it, like, Defense of a Genre? And they literally had, like, every lead singer of, like, every emo band from, like, the mid-2000s. Like, they had, like, Gerard Way. They had Adam Lazar from Taking Back Sunday. They had, like, all this.
You name it.
Yeah, like, you pick your poison. They had everybody on that album. You could say anything that's right at this point. Yeah, and I could respect that, because that's more of the vein. Like, I was a little bit younger in 2006. So that was, like, I remember Say Anything coming out with Is a Real Boy or whatever that album was at that time. And
That got some
serious radio play. That's when Sirius was, like, really trying to play some real.
But the problem was that it was, like, kind of like after pop punk had already happened, right? Like, pop punk was already blown up as far as it was going to happen. Like, it got to the zenith with, like, Blink, obviously, was what we always talk about, Blink, and then Sum 41 and Green Day to an extent, right? But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just weird how it you know, we always like to talk about this because it's really interesting. You know, like, it blew up so fast. I feel like, you know, music was looking for that next grunge, and they tried to make pop punk that grunge.
And then emo, like, came out of it.
And then emo came out of it. And that's, like, what you're talking about, like, Story So Far and, like, stuff
like
that.
I don't even think they're emo. Like, that's, like, just a pop punk old thing. I think everyone wanted to escape, like, the emo.
That's another thing. Like, what is emo? Moniker, like, anything could be emo. Like, you know, like, but every Sunday Day Real Estate is emo. You know?
But that's, like, OG. Yeah. That's, like, real emo, though.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. You know what it is? It's if a song instills emotion, because isn't that what emo really stands for? So it's like every song. So, you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
And you said we were talking about Wonder Years, and it was funny because I saw them in, like, 2010 when they were, like, I guess that's right around the time you started listening to them, right? Because that's when they first.
2010 is a long year. Yeah, that's about seven years ago.
So, like, and you're saying you're, like, 20 now, so you're, like, 14, 15 years old then. So that's like, around the wheelhouse of, like, and at the bands. And I saw them open up in. They opened up for Streetlight Manifesto, which is, like, a ska band, which was probably the worst pairing of bands you could ever have in one concert. And so I always remember them from, like, that spot. And so I kind of wrote them off for a while, but then I got back into them, and they're actually pretty sweet, I have to say.
Yeah.
What do you think of the new album they have?
No Closer to Heaven.
Yeah, I've heard some hatred towards it, but I actually liked it.
I don't know. I liked it. I just feel like I'm really not. Like, I feel like I'm kind of past them. I kind of, you know, was into them and not really anymore. I mean, I still listen to it. It was, like, you know, definitely less pop punky, I guess. But there's some good songs on there, definitely.
Yeah, because it's kind of tough because I guess you have to mature as a band, too, you know, like, because you can't keep putting out, I forget the name of the first album, but that was so much different than what they are now. So it's, I guess as you get older.
Oh, yeah,
it's
definitely.
I mean, because if you look at Taking Back Sunday, too, they do, what the heck the new album called, but it's, like, totally different than, like, everything else before it, almost. It's, like, almost has, like, a country-esque type feel to it, and I was like,
same thing about Brand New. I mean, what about Brand New's first album was, you know, close to pop, just being straight pop punk.
And then they went, like, super hard after that first album. They just changed it up altogether, but that Jesse's a lunatic, so we all know that.
but, yeah, man, I'm curious, what was, like, the first show you can remember seeing? Is there a specific show? Even if it's, like, Kid Rock or something. I don't know. Like, it could be anything.
My first show was, like, Billy Joel.
First show ever?
Yeah, first live show. Yeah. First live experience.
I think I went to see Good Charlotte in, probably, like, 2004 with, like, my dad.
Oh, damn. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
At, like, Radio City Music Hall, maybe, city. Yeah.
That's bananas, actually.
That is bananas. How were they? Yeah, do you remember? Was it a life changing experience for you, as a youngster?
You know what? It was funny because, like, I remember it a little bit, but I remember just seeing the opening band, and they were just, like, for me as a kid, I was just like, oh my god, like, they're they're playing forever. Like, holy shit. Like, I just want to see Good Charlotte, you know? It was just like, yeah, I remember that. And then, like, there's also seats. But then, like, once Good Charlotte played, everybody, like, stood up in their seats. And I thought that was kind of weird. But
Yeah, that's a weird. I think it's just a weird venue for him to be at.
Because you were, like, in 2004, you were really young, right? I mean, like, that's, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was thinking, like, I was... Shit.
Eight, maybe.
Wow, yeah.
That's pretty badass.
That's awesome. Because I remember my first show, I was, like, it was not too far away from that 2004. And I'm, like, eight years older than you. So, you got a leg up on me, man. I think I saw some 41 at some, like, Hammerstein or something. Yeah. Like, and my, you know, a friend's mom brought me. And we went with my friend, and then but I actually was excited about the opening bands, like, because like I was in a different mindset. I was like trying to absorb all this music as I could. I was like 14 or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I need all this shit.
You feel badass. You go there, like, yo, no one knows about this shit. Like, who else is doing that shit, right?
It was awesome. It's interesting. So what's the first show you remember that you like as a older person that you realize that is there any one show that sticks out as like a thing that made you feel that you want to do something like that, like do live music?
I feel like after that Good Charlotte show, I didn't see one for like a long time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm trying to think. Like, I remember like seeing the Wonder Years. Like, that's when I was like, you know, I think I saw them at like Warped Tour maybe.
Wow. Yeah.
But I was just like, you know, they that whole thing with like everybody was really, you know, goes off to them playing, and I was just like, oh shit, like that's cool, you know, or whatever. But I think I saw them at like Warped Tour, and I was like, damn, this is like cool.
You know? Warped Tour is awesome. Yeah. I gotta say, because you get to see like so many bands, you know, like it's like, especially as a kid, it's just like, oh wow. You're just like so much different, and you got all these different kids there. A lot of, you know, so get the girls going, and you're trying to say,
you got
what's
the
up?
Girls going, yeah. There's girls there too, eh?
You know what I'm saying? You know?
It is cool. And it's cool that it's still going, you know, and I feel like that's what's keeping kind of, you know, pop punk and emo and all that stuff kind of going. I mean, it's not contained to just that, because there's all kinds of music on there, like Black Veil Brides or something, like Play It or something, whatever the hell that is.
I don't know.
Like they're like the new Motley Crue or something. I don't know. But I don't know. And you guys are based in Long Island currently, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So just I'm you know, we're always curious about like different types of areas, how the music is affected there. Like how do you feel about the area? Is it good to play shows there? Is it got a good like crowd for your type of music still? I know back in the day, like, cause all the bands come from there, right? Like
it's a hotbed.
Yeah, it was a hotbed, and it was like Seattle in the 90s. Like, you just everybody sign them all, get them all.
It's like Pokemon Go out there.
So just curious, what is it like there now? I mean, Long Island seems so far away to be us being from Brooklyn. Like, I don't go to Long Island for anything specifically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That is true. I mean, it's weird because I feel like even just in the past, like 5 years ago, there was like a lot more going on than there is now, or at least it like seems like with like the local kind of scene, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel personally like I feel like if Figure Eight was a band like 5 years ago, it'd be a lot more with the times, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, it's a little like nowadays. I mean, there's still shows going on. It's still like a good place to play, I guess. Like a lot of bands who come through, they're like, "Yo, like Long Island is like cool to play." And I'm just like, I guess it is. But yeah, there's definitely a bunch of local bands. It's definitely more of like kind of, you know, shifted to that like emo indie kind of stuff going on. You know, a bunch of like chorus and like on like guitars and shit, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. I mean, it's still cool. It's still like a place for bigger bands to play too. I think, you know, like Tiny Moving Parts came through to Long Island like recently, and like a few local bands I knew, or just maybe one, played with them, which was cool. It's a cool place to, you know. You could still play with like bigger bands if you're a local band here, which is cool, without having to like, you know, go to the city or something. But yeah.
I feel like that type of music is very is good for that too. It's very accepting of young bands and giving everybody a chance. Like, it's hard. It's very you know, it's very hard to, you know, because I feel like there's a real community in that, in that pop punk-ish kind of scene, and they want to support each other. So a band, you know, and like nobody's, it's not like anybody's out here, you know, playing in the garden or something, but you know, like, you know what I mean? But they, every once in a while, it's nice that, you know, a bigger band comes back and can throw a younger band a bone, because everybody needs a bone every once in a while.
That's what I'm saying, because it's like, look at the tiny moving parts. Like, because a couple of years ago, they were really, you know, they were like one of those opening bands for somebody else, right? And now they can come on and kind of headline a tour themselves, and that's always good, because we were just talking to another band a couple of weeks ago called Hot Mulligan out of Michigan, and they were saying that, you know, You Blew It, and I forget, someone else, one of the other bigger bands was coming into play, and they got to open that show for them, and that's, you know, that's pretty sweet, you know, because how often are you going to get those, how many times are you going to get that chance, or how, it's kind of tough for bands to, like, you know, just find someone in, like, a local area to open up, and I think that's actually really good, so it's kind of getting, like, a little local flavor, but then also a band that you may like that's a little bit bigger than them, so I think. Hopefully for you guys, you can, you know, you jump on a show like that or something. I'm trying to think who's out in Long Island right now. That's
hopefully.
Well, you got to see what happens. You know, like, you know, eventually, if you keep playing and you guys are really tight, and I mean, you know,
just keep doing it.
Just keep doing it, man. So, what? Just speaking of keeping and doing, keeping on doing it. what do you guys got coming up right now? I know you just put out the EP. Are you planning any touring, or like, what's kind of like the goal with this one?
Well, we're planning to just do a bunch of, some, like, one-off shows in the spring, maybe, like, some, like, weekend stuff, but definitely in the summer we're going to try to do a, like, an East Coast tour, or more.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, we're still, like, kind of, you know, in the process of, like, looking into that, but, yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough. It's really tough booking all that stuff too, right? I mean, like, what's the booking experience for you guys, man? I'm sure you kind of just handle it all yourself, right?
Yeah, I basically, this past tour that we did, I booked it basically myself. But, you know, it's kind of hard because, you know, it's like hard to be like, hey, I'm a band you've never heard of, and like, I can't bring anybody to the show, but can we play your like, place? It's just like, you know, it's hard to like, you know, do that, but, you know, it's like a bunch of, when you do, like, you know, the DIY kind of tour, you got to play, like, a bunch of houses, I guess, and I'm fine with that for, like, you know, first tour, like, that's totally fine, you know, but, like, yeah, like, you know, you can't really play venues as much, but, like, I guess, you know, houses are more accepting of, like, you know, putting in some bands that nobody's heard of, basically, but... Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass to, booking and shit.
But my best experiences in my band has been playing those house shows. The people who are there they want to be there, right? They're not going to be in someone's basement for no reason. They want to see music,
exactly.
You know? So you get a good vibe from that.
Better vibe.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cool thing is you never know who's watching, right? And you're building relationships. That's the most important thing, you know? Like, you're going there, you're making a connection, and then the next time you go back, then maybe you'll play a different place. Maybe you'll be in a venue. Maybe now you set up a little bit of a connection over there in whatever state or whatever you're in, and then you just kind of keep building. You know, like people don't understand how hard it is, because you got to really be in it kind of for a long game. You know, like, there's really no overnight success, right? You have to.
Go for it, man. I didn't mean to sound the first tour is like gonna be small, but the next one's gonna be big. Like, it doesn't mean to sound like that, but like, yeah, no, I definitely like playing the house shows a lot better than the venues. When you know, at the venues, I feel like it's kind of like especially, you know, being a band nobody knows, it's kind of like a colder vibe. But yeah, the house shows, like, everybody's like getting drunk, everybody's having a fun time, you know.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's definitely cool. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not the most social guys, but we're trying to, every time we go to a show, we're trying to, like, you know, make some friends with everybody. But
and now I feel bad we didn't say hi to you guys after the show. We kind of just wanted to let you be. We were like,
those guys are good. Let's enjoy it. Like, enjoy the night.
Yeah, we don't want to be like, yo, we're the Stro Bros. You heard about us, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, I don't know who the fuck you guys are either.
Either way, we would have been fine with it, but yeah, you know, that's fine.
Next time.
I didn't know if you guys were coming or not, because I was told to, like, put you guys on the guest list or whatever. Yeah, I didn't know if you guys were coming.
Oh, yeah, we were there. Yeah, cool. No, thank you for that.
It's not often we get guest listed, so we take advantage of it.
Exactly.
Thanks for that.
It was cool. But, yeah, next time you guys come in the city or something, we'll come stop by. We'll say hi. we will unmask ourselves, and we'll hang out. We'll get another beer.
Yeah, definitely. This time it won't be legal, I guess.
Hey, listen, we don't got to know. We don't got to know nothing. I ain't the cops.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, speaking of which, I hope you have a happy birthday, man. Enjoy it. Get fucking crazy. Are you going to play on your birthday, or are you going to not do music for your birthday? Just take time off.
Yeah, not this time. I almost was, but not this time, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, so you have anything else to kind of promote? We're kind of like wrapping up here. We're running a little out of time, but it's been awesome talking to you. So if you have anything else you want to promote before we let you go, please go for it.
We have a show. We have a show March 1st coming up with Head North on Long Island at Amityville.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty much all we have right now. But yeah, thanks for having me again. Thanks for putting me, taking some time and put me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Of course, thank you so much for calling in. And hopefully, get someone, go back to sleep or something right now, because it is.
Get a little shut-eye.
And yeah.
Get a couple Z's.
I might do that.
I respect that. All right, well, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you guys soon, all right?
Be good, kid.
Yeah, definitely. You too, guys.
All right.
Awesome.
All right. There we go, guys. That was Figure Eight.
Figure Eight.
That was awesome. And cool dude.
Very cool dude.
Yeah, I feel so bad now that we didn't go say hi to them.
Yeah, that's RB.
That's RB, because we wanted to let them keep, EP release. They want to be in the
moment. You know how it is.
You don't want to talk shop when you're rocking out.
You just want to kind of like leave people alone. They were taking their stuff down. One of my biggest pet peeves, and like when, and the only person, and I like when you do it, but people like come up on stage and like come to me and be like, and I'm like trying to take my shit off the stage.
It's like, what's up, bitch?
Yeah, it's like, what? Especially when you get drunk, you'll just come up on the stage and just be like, yo, what's up? Like, you're just like, do you remember doing that? You've done that like four times, and it's just like, it's Steve, it's okay.
That's all right. He's a harmless creature. Just ignore him. He may go away. Yeah.
This is an interesting, a psychotherapy kind of thing if you think about it, because like we're thinking that he doesn't want us to talk to him, and he's thinking, man, did they not want to talk to me? So it's you know what I'm saying? Like, we're just overthinking things, man. We just next time, we'll just go for it.
No, I think that's the problem with the world.
Oh,
everybody,
shit.
Yeah. Oh shit, moment right here. Whew. You know what it is? It's because everyone is always scared of what the other person's thinking, so they won't act on the thought of their own preconception of what that other person's thinking.
Wow.
So
damn, bro.
Yeah. So Figure Eight, we're coming. Next time we're coming, we're bringing the Bruce.
We're bringing the Bruce. The bros are bringing the bros.
We're bringing the Bruce. So
maybe
get
the broads.
Ready. Maybe the broads. Nah,
our girlfriends.
Our girlfriends. They're just like they probably won't come. Oh, but I want to do one thing right now. First of all, listen to the Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. I got to ID that. And then secondly, we got to wish a certain man a happy birthday today.
It's true. You beat me to it.
Were you gonna do it?
Yeah. Well. You do it now. You started it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, because I was going to forget about it. But it's our boy Nick's birthday. Happy birthday, Nick.
NPS.
NPS. He was, when we had the apartment together, he was our roommate. Good dude. I'm burping. I'm sorry.
That's okay. He let us basically run our entire podcast out of our living room. And I wouldn't say he let us do it. We didn't have to ask permission.
We just kind of let people come over, and Nick was cool with it.
And
while
Nick
he
was
made
cool
dinner.
With it. Yeah. Exactly. So NPS, wherever you are, I know you weren't feeling too good. You were, having a little trouble sleeping. I hope you got some rest.
Yeah.
And
take that Z-Quil.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll, we'll see you next weekend and we'll do something.
We'll bring the Bruce. Yeah. We'll bring the Bruce.
It's like the end of a poem. I'll bring the Bruce.
Oh, it's no. It's from Mr. Deeds. Deeds. When he's at the funeral and he's like, when I meet you at the pearly gates, I'll bring the beers.
I'll bring the beers. That's what it's from. It was also from remember the Flintstones movie with
the first one? Not Viva Rock Vegas.
No, that doesn't count. Okay. But, come on. John Goodman and Rick Moranis as Barney Rubble and Fred Flint. Come on, that's the greatest. I don't understand how that didn't make
the
40 billion.
The old Twinkle
Toes. Oh, my God. But at the end of the movie, at the beginning of the movie, the whole setup is that I think Barney is reading Fred a poem that he wrote. And he's like, I'll pay him back someday, somehow. And he's reading this poem, and that's how the whole thing of the movie starts. That he like switches their tests or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's such a stupid story. Ah, God.
Shh, don't say it. It's a beautiful story.
It was so easy to write movies in the 90s, huh?
It was.
Nothing needed to be complicated.
Nothing needs to be complicated. I guess at this point, you want to play one more track?
Yeah, and I actually do have an Oh Shit moment of the week, so when we come back, we could do that.
Oh, shit. All right, so there's a couple tracks on here. I'm going to do is, because the four-song EP, Forever, out by Figure Eight, it's available now on their Bandcamp page, not on Spotify yet. It's coming. So, yeah, so check their Facebook page. They got all the links and all that good stuff. So I'm going to play right now. This one's called Keep You With Me. And if this loads as quickly as I think it will, I can just disappear into the microphone abyss.
You should be hearing it. Right.
So right now. All right, guys, that was Figure Eight of the new EP.
Forever.
Forever.
What was that song called again? I like that one a lot.
That one, hang on, I got to go back down. That was Keep You With Me.
Keep You With Me. Keep You With Me.
I'll Keep You With Me.
Yeah. So, man, really like this band.
I do, too. I thought that was awesome. And I got to thank Becky for just hooking us up with them because they're just awesome. Like, you know, we got
Becky
some...
Becky Baby.
Hey, Becky Baby.
Becky Baby.
Now, she hooked us up because usually sometimes people like offer us up bands that... They don't. Not that they're not good. It's just that they don't. We were just talking about that. They don't really mesh with us as like a show. Yeah. So it's kind of. It's like I don't want to turn bands down, but I don't. You know.
It's one thing when we're filling in for somebody one week and we decide to do a wrestling episode.
Yeah.
Like that's one thing, but you know, like we have a certain genre of band that we want to try to promote and that we like. It's hard. You know. It's hard to promote everything. You know. You can't. We're only one man. One
group of men.
One duo of men. So, okay. So you ready?
I'm ready.
Little last minute, but I figured out an Oh Shit moment of the week.
Oh, shit.
And I remember I saw somebody.
Should we Oh Shit?
Do it? Okay.
Oh, shit. All right.
That was actually a good one.
That was pretty good.
We should isolate that and use that forever. Anyway. if anybody wants to make an Oh Shit drop for us, please tweet at us at Oh Shit.
At Oh Shit. At Tremendous Clips.
Yeah, we have our Twitter handle at Tremendous Clips. It's a real thing.
I own that just in case someone wants to buy it. I thought that was clever. But continue on to the oh shit moment.
So I was on, of course, all my oh shit moments come from where? Facebook.
We were discussing this, yeah.
And I saw.
It just disrespected you. It's coming from my phone. I'm so sorry.
Steve's phone is freaking out.
It's playing music.
but it's still good music. It's still figure eight. That's good.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, so I'm scrolling through Facebook, scrolling, and somebody posted a picture.
Ooh.
And it was a list, right? It was okay. A list of songs. Ooh. And here's the list. The name of the list. It wasn't like a link. This was just like someone made this list on their notepad.
Oh, like iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Then just took like a screenshot of it and posted it to a thing.
Okay.
I don't know if this guy wrote it. I think it was probably written by somebody before. Like it was. I don't know who wrote this list, but it's.
It looks rather long.
Yeah, it's long. So we're gonna have to maybe try to fly through it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, we got time. We got like 9 minutes.
But you'll see what it is. So the list is. It's not like a. You know, BuzzFeed thing or something.
Good.
It's just a list someone
BuzzFeed.
Made. Right. So it's the title of the list is as such: songs that never fail to make white people beyond turnt.
Oh my goodness! All right, how do I get? I'm a Caucasian male. I will say that right now.
I am too. If you couldn't tell.
So apparently, I'm hashtag blessed. So how do I get turnt is the question.
Well, this is the reason why this kind of made me think of this and reminded me of this is that you've pulled up and we were listening to Hootie and the Blowfish.
I hope that's the entire list.
I don't know. I don't know, but we're gonna find out.
I'm so ready right now.
So number one on the list.
Is this going in? Is it going down to one, or just the top, or just it doesn't matter?
It's just a list of songs. There's no chronology.
All right, let it fly. Let it fly.
It's just a conglomeration of really Caucasian music.
All right.
Number one, Don't Stop Believing.
Oh my goodness, that's
come on. When that.
I went to Penn State, and at any bar after 12 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, the Caucasian turnout, bro.
It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
You might say it's unreal.
Unreal, bro.
Number two, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, you know, I did that. I did, I'm just apparently the perfect stereotype for this. I did, karaoke? I did karaoke to this once, and maybe at JB's birthday, like way back.
I don't know if I remember that, but I mean, if I could have been there and you could tell me I was there, and I'd be like, okay.
we were there, but not there at the same time.
Living on a Prayer.
Oh my God. Yeah.
The hits keep coming, bro. It doesn't stop.
Oh my God, continue. Please, don't stop. Don't stop. Is that next?
It was first.
Oh shit, that's right. I'm listening.
Come On, Eileen.
Ooh, my goodness.
Come on. That's a good one.
That's another good one.
Tooraloorah. And next up after that, Sweet Caroline.
Oh my God. Bro, this is, whoever made this, I should just make this a playlist.
Yep.
Just play it for an hour straight.
The second entry of a Bon Jovi catalog, Living on a Prayer was the first one.
Yes.
You Give Love a Bad Name.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi is getting a lot of love on this list.
He is.
I really just want to get to this point because I have something that I want to do.
Okay.
Because of this song.
Ooh. Okay.
Next one is Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Oh yeah. Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay, that's good. That's
Under more Pressure. Like
good. Oh.
We're running out of time, bro.
Yeah. Go. I'm sorry.
Okay, Under Pressure. I mean, I like that song too.
That's a good one.
What else? Okay, Shook Me All Night Long. Come on, AC/DC up in this piece. I love AC/DC. They are the. I don't even know.
So
what
far,
they are.
It's all just white dudes.
Come on. Okay, it starts to get a lot worse here.
Oh.
Ice, Ice Baby.
Hey, you know I know all the words to that.
Come on, Ice.
Ice.
Come on, Ice. Baby. I love you, Ice. Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, come on now.
By the,
this is like
the
a confirmation party.
The critically acclaimed Rednecks with an X. They made that song. 500 Miles, which that is my jam, I gotta say.
Oh my God. We're
and
so
I wake up, I know I'm gonna
are
be.
Are we basic? Is that what this makes us?
I mean, that's not what it just makes us white people.
Makes us turn.
These never fail to make us beyond turnt. Not just turnt.
Beyond turnt.
So there's turnt and there's beyond turnt.
Bear Dills can tell us about that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, remember there was Batman, there was Batman Beyond? This is turnt and this is turnt beyond.
Oh, damn, the sequel.
Okay, so Wonderwall, come on. Hits you right in the feels, bro.
It does.
Does that not hit you right in the feels?
My feels cry on that one. When feels cry.
All right, Buddy Holly.
Oh, Weezer.
Weezer, yep.
Okay.
A Thousand Miles. Apparently, we like songs about journeys.
A lot of
we like songs by journey.
A lot of distance.
We like mileage. We're just a couple of white people on a journey.
We're very proud of our mom works.
We took a long road to get here to come to America and destroy a land of peace.
Look how beautiful this land is, destroy it.
Teenage dirtbag. I don't know what that is.
I am a teenage dirtbag, baby. That's the one. You don't know that one?
I've never heard that one.
You've heard it if I played in the car later.
You know it?
Yeah.
Teenage Dirtbag?
Yeah.
Who sings it?
I don't know who sings it.
Oh, I kind of want to see that now.
Okay, we'll find it in the car.
Okay, cool. Mr. Brightside.
Oh, yeah, that's another one.
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Rowland.
We got Rick Rowland even on this list.
This is so ridiculous. Eye of the Tiger. What? And it's just a key. It's like every song from Rocky, like Eye of the Tiger.
Live in America.
We Will Rock You. We Are the Champions.
Oh, anything Queen at that point.
Yeah,
Queen made those songs for like championships.
I Love Rock and Roll.
Okay, I hate that one, but yeah.
Dancing Queen.
Okay, yeah.
American Pie. Don McLean. There's one more song.
Oh, is this the one?
And I think we got to play out on this song.
Yes,
because it's a certain man's birthday.
Oh.
I think you might know what song I'm talking about.
Is it Kid Rock?
Nope.
Oh, it's not Kid Rock. Bound to bound to bang to bang diggy diggy.
No.
I'm singing a lot on this microphone tonight. I'm enjoying
it. Sounding good.
Thank you.
I don't know who sings it, so it's gonna take me a second to find it.
Ooh. Can you
okay.
Are we not even gonna say it?
We're not gonna say it. We're just gonna play out.
Oh my god. All right, let's round it up then. Let's round it up.
Yeah.
You guys, thank you for listening today. We had Figure Eight on the show, EP Forever Out Now. You can go find that. If you want to donate to the station, just go to rfb.nyc/pledge, drop some coin in our purses, and we can keep the station running.
That's what we do.
Free and clear.
That's what we do. We'll bring you the guests next week if you drop little coinage in the tip jar.
Yeah, and
take a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah, you guys, next week we got the band Can't Swim on. They're opening up for 4 Year Strong right now, and they're opening for some bananas bands coming up. So
did a gorilla bring the bananas to the pizza box?
In a pizza box, yes. we got pool requests after us.
Absolutely.
So you guys listen to the Stroll Show, Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you so much. And this is the last song that gets white people beyond turned.
And
so
it especially goes out to our buddy NPS, Nick.
Nick, happy birthday, kid.
Birthday.
And also Vinny.
Hey, Vinny.
Yo, you up, kid?
You still up, Vinny? I'm just a little curious.
He's up. He's up. Were, he's 6 hours ahead, but he's up.
Now, Red Solo Cup is the best receptacle for barbecues, tailgates, fairs, and festivals. And you, sir, do not have a pair of testicles if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable. And unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac can kiss my ass. Woo! Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party, let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up, proceed to party, proceed to party. Now I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Cause when beer runs down in front of my back, well that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky. Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party, let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup.
What?
I lift you up. Proceed to party, proceed to party. Now I've seen you in blue and I've seen you in yellow, but only you, Red, will do for this fella, because you are the